Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Male. My name is Alan Gigax, and I am here, as usual lately, with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
And we are going to talk about what happened at our big union meeting. The stuff that we've been building up to for all this time, and how it went. You could probably tell by the tone already that it did not go the way we were hoping it would go, but there were a lot of positive takeaways from this.
But it's not over.
Oh, it's far from over. And I mean, we still have an election coming up, you know, a re-election in our branch. But let's cut to the chase. There were three sets of charges that were heard at this meeting. There were two sets of charges against our branch president, one set of charges against the election chair for all of the election improprieties and other things that went on. And the vote, I'll just cut to the chase and then we'll talk about what happened. The vote against the election chair came first, and that vote, he was acquitted by a vote of 52 to 49. So that was very close vote, and we had people were working, showed up late, and that's the way it goes. You know, I'm glad they showed up, but we just missed it. And then we had the two sets of charges against the president, which the investigators actually combined, more on that in a minute. And that was not sustained by a vote of 48 to 56. So we'll dive into it. But by the audience, both votes went our way. But it's not only the audience that gets to vote. And by carriers, people who actually carry the mail, we won both votes hugely. But that's not all who gets to vote. And so, you know, these are positive takeaways. But we did not carry the day. So, let's get into a little bit about what happened.
Well, I know that more people that showed up later, that was for us, and somehow they got more votes for Paul, our president, more than later.
Yeah, we had 49 votes.
That doesn't make any sense, so.
Yeah, that's a great question. So, I think people might have been more comfortable voting to convict the election chair than they were voting to convict the president, because the election chair doesn't have the ability to have retribution. And we know for a fact that's something that people are concerned about with the president. So more people were...
We'll talk more about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we definitely will. So when we got there, my first impression upon walking into the union hall was that it looked like a nursing home.
Yeah.
There were so many retirees there and people who, A, don't normally come to the meetings, but hey, it's everybody's union. You know, everybody's entitled to come out. B, people that don't really have a way to keep up on what's going on and aren't, Michael and I don't have access to these people. These people are here specifically at the request of the president. Hey, I need you to come out. And we talked to people who were there as retirees, and that was exactly what they were told. They didn't even know what the issues were. They just came out for the express purpose of protecting the president. And that's the power infrastructure that Michael and I are up against. And that's reform movements around the union are up against that exact same sort of infrastructure.
Yeah, our union is pretty much going through that same
throughout the NALC. Yeah, it's certainly not unique to Branch 2502, and there are very good reasons why the incumbents win election over 90% of the time and why they are so immune to challengers.
I mean, just to give you a little example, we are about the only union of all these unions that we got that allows retirees to vote or be in the office.
I don't think... No, oh, you I mean swear. The NALC is one of the few unions, not our branch.
Not our branch. The NALC. I'm saying NALC altogether.
Sure.
Because I've talked to lots of people from AFL-CIO, and they go, oh, we don't do that. We don't allow retirees to vote or be in the office.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because the people I talked to at my station afterward, and credit to the folks at East Las Vegas. You guys really turned out. It was amazing to see all of you guys there, and I can't thank you enough for the support. But a couple of things that I kept hearing when I got back to the station afterward was, A, who was that incredible woman at the back of the meeting? And that was the woman who we've been referring to as the superhero, because she only spoke a couple of times, but it is always powerful and it is always very potent.
She didn't speak that much this time.
No, she did not speak that much this time. Yeah. And The other thing that I kept hearing is, why do the retirees have so much say over what happens in our branch?
Right.
And it's a fair question. I mean, look, that's the way the Constitution is set up. It's not something that, again, it's not unique to our branch. That's the way our union is set up.
Just to give you a little info, I mean, we had the investigative committee that came from our national business agent.
Right.
And she sent retirees to investigate.
Yeah, yeah.
Not active people, retirees.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, they've got the time.
Yeah, they got the time, but they're checking an investigation on what's going on for active, really for active carriers. So how are they going to settle on the investigation if they're retiring, they don't care?
I don't necessarily fault their investigation. They investigated. I'm sure they were more thorough than...
They were more thorough than the people that who would have been appointed
otherwise. Because,
I believe our branch, the investigators are always missed... given information out of the investigation by our secretary,
sure,
that you know, they're only doing what they're what they are
what they're instructed to do.
Told to do,
right?
Just like when they did an investigation on us, the investigative committee says, "Oh, we thought it was a like a sports show where it was the us
it was
against
teams,
the
yeah, team. Yeah, exactly."
And so we were told to only investigate in favor of the the election chair and not you guys.
Right, that
so,
they had to be
on So we had
on
to bring out
side.
That you were already automatically guilty.
Yeah, yep, exactly. And so in deference to the investigators who were sent by National, they were impartial at a minimum, you know. And so we start the meeting and right away we get into it. It's time to do the reports from the investigators. The first report is going to be on the election chair. And one of the committee members gets up there to talk, and she says that she starts out by saying that all they're going to do is read the report, which is fine. You know, that they don't have go ahead.
Yeah, so she was reading the reports, what they found, which is they were reading the charge and what the reports they found.
Yeah, but they didn't read the charge. Again, they just read their findings.
You know, they read some charges, not all of them.
Well, yeah, they kind of discussed the charges, like relative to this is what we found.
But
the
stuff that they found, they were guilty.
Right. And this is one of the amazing things that happened this night is the investigators very clearly said that, yes, what you're accused of, you actually did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said that, like, the election committee was never convened.
Yep.
They said that the decision to use the print company was not approved by the branch and was not approved by the committee. And then when the election chair got up there to defend himself, he said the same thing.
Remember, they lied. Our president lied, saying that the ballots were ordered the previous year.
Oh, that they were approved in the national, in the
with the office
annual budget.
Lies.
Right, right.
Which is not true.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that, with the way the investigators presented their findings, like, they found stuff that we considered pivotal to the case that we were making. That everybody went rogue, that they didn't abide by the rules in the election book, and they admitted to it, right? When they got up to defend themselves, they admitted to it. But the way the committee said, like for example, the financial impropriety, where they spent the money without branch approval, or I should say they contracted for services without branch approval, the committee said, well, there was a budget approved in March that included office supplies and postage, and so the election is covered in that. But that's simply not true. That's not the election money, because if it was, we wouldn't have needed a separate vote to pay the bill.
Right. And usually the office supplies are for the year and not for certain individual things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're just lying out of their
teeth. And then, so she says, you know, hey, first, this money was budgeted for in like office supplies, and then it was brought up to be paid at the January meeting, and then that got... withdrawn, and then it was paid at the February meeting. And so if you're just listening as a casual observer, it sounds like, you know, it got paid for, no big deal. Like, it wasn't stressed that, like, this stuff has to get approved, and it wasn't. It was done without authorization, and it was really just glossed over.
Yeah, because our investigators were just reading it like it was, they were reading a book, and they were not happy that they were there.
Well, it certainly was not a very motivated reading. No. That's for sure. No. Right. It was dispassionate, let's say.
But just to give you guys the information is that they literally said that they will not butt in, and so they did it. I'll tell you about the
letters you're talking about. Yeah. So it was found in the investigation that the stuff that Michael and I alleged in our charges was true, that is the way it happened. And when the election chair gets up there to defend himself...
He never even talked about the charges that he was charged for.
Right.
He just talked about some nonsense.
Yeah. So, and this is part of the problem with the way the system is set up. So... In Article 10, when it's done by the book, which it was here, essentially, the charges are read at the meeting before. So these charges, the charges against the election chair were read in like December or something. But anyway, so the charges are read in advance. And then at this meeting, the only thing that happens is the investigators give their findings. And then the person being charged gets to defend themselves. And then we vote. And so the difficulty that you have there is, A, the people who happen to be in attendance at the meeting that day don't necessarily know what the charges were. And B, there's no rebuttal to anything that the defendant says. And so the defendant can just get up there and lie. Yeah. And there's not really a mechanism to call them on it. And you wind up getting the vote based on that. Or... in the case of the election chair, he can get up there and defend himself against a bunch of stuff that we never charged him with.
So there is still some things the investigators didn't do that says it in the bylaws, is to cross-examine witnesses.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody seems to know how to do that.
You know, and yeah, this is part of the problem. And in my opinion...
And it sounds like you do that at the meeting.
I don't think so. Because all of that, the way it's written out in Article 10, in my... my reading of it is it should happen like in the month that you have, is you should have your opportunity to cross-examine each other. And from my perspective, I will say that I think both the election chair and the president were denied their due process in that regard because they never got a chance to question the witnesses. Mm-hmm. And the president said, and in this part, I believe him, when he got up there, he's like, you know, some of these things I didn't even hear about until just now when the committee reported on them. And that's a problem.
Yeah. Because I think the problem is that nobody knows how this process works. There is no book out on how to do the investigation.
It's not in any kind of detail, right? Yeah. Article 10 is very general.
Yeah. And so everybody's trying to figure things out. And so, I kind of give them, saying, hey,
a little bit of benefit of the doubt,
saying that, hey, maybe they didn't know all the rules and things so forth. But, man, there was still a lot of stuff that they still didn't do.
There was. It seems like...
Which there's not much in there, and then it was still stupid stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you can read all of Article 10 in like less than 5 minutes.
Right.
And, yeah.
And they're skipping steps.
Yeah. In that. And, right. I agree. And it denies people their due process. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, it denied our election chair and our president from cross-examining, but it denied us who charged it also.
Yes. Yes, it did. To direct question them and to make sure that what was important was actually emphasized.
Right.
Because, again, to get back to the election chair defending himself, he got up there and he defended himself against, let's see, what do we have on here?
Just to give you an example, his charges that we filed was basically saying that he didn't do his job. He didn't read the rule books. He didn't do the roster. He didn't. He allowed the president to go rogue and have too much influence over the
election. All that stuff.
And the president who's running for the election is not supposed to touch the ballots at all.
Right.
He actually admitted that he did.
Yeah. So when the election chair is up there defending himself, he's talking about like what time he went and picked up the ballots.
Yeah.
And like that wasn't even in the charges.
Yeah. Right.
And so it's very easy to defend yourself against things that we're not saying you did wrong.
He was only talking about things like stuff that he did right.
Some procedural things, but not on the charges. Yeah. And we rented the P.O. box and we didn't charge you with not renting a P.O. box.
Right.
And so if you, because the listener doesn't know what the charges are, he goes up there, spends half of his time making a very good
defense. I'm telling you, she did read the charges.
I'm sure that she mentioned them. She didn't read them as we wrote them. She mentioned them in reference to...
She read the charge.
Okay.
Then she read what
the
she
finding
found.
Was. All right. Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Okay. You're
on
probably
every
right.
one of those.
You're probably okay. right.
And that's what she mentioned, six charges.
Okay. Well,
which is exactly what we charged.
Yeah.
So she did mention it.
Okay. Then in fairness, yeah. I will say instead that you really have to be paying attention because
she
nobody's
was so quiet.
Yeah. Well, that so too. Quiet. And yeah. So
and somehow the mic didn't work for her.
Dude. The
it
audio
worked
system
great for Paul.
Is not great. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I'm one of the only people there who's actually taking notes on what's happening and I'm already familiar with it. If you're not familiar with it and it's hard to keep, like, what were all those charges in your head? And then the election chair gets up there and he makes an adequate defense to a bunch of things. Unfortunately, they're things that we didn't charge him with.
Right.
And so to a casual observer, I can see why it would sound like, oh, he's innocent, even though the things that we did charge him with, we were correct. Yeah. And
he didn't defend himself.
Right. Yeah. He didn't even defend against a lot of those things.
He just talked about what he did right.
Dude, and he talked about same thing that the president was going to say was that this is the way we've always done it. Yeah. And I don't really see why this is a problem. Mm-hmm. But there were also a couple of real gems in there. Mm-hmm. So he says that, the investigators, that's why I'm still looking at what the investigator said. Mm-hmm. The investigator said something interesting about the stonewalling that we were encountering. Mm-hmm. And that's that the branch officers have no obligation to answer our questions. And that's true. It's not like it's in the bylaws that they have to answer our questions. And so our only recourse is to file an appeal afterward. We did file an appeal to the election.
That's something that's, it's not in the bylaws, but it is actually in the Constitution to be transparent to all the members.
You'd have to quote that to me directly.
I have to find it, but I believe I read that in
to
there.
The members. Yeah,
saying
sure.
that the responsibility to the members by the officers of the union is
right, to be
transparent.
Honest in their dealings.
I believe
or something
that
like
is
that.
In there. I just don't remember exactly where it's at, but I do remember reading that.
Right. But they talk out of both sides of their mouth because both the election chair and the president both said, you know, this could have been solved with a conversation. And if people would have brought this to our attention.
Oh, funny we did.
Yeah, and we have paper trails proving that we brought it to their attention, but they get to stand up there and say whatever they want, and it doesn't get challenged before we vote.
Mm-hmm. You could literally lie and when you're defending and get away with it because nobody questions them that they're lying.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. Right.
How is this investigation thing set up this way when you can just literally lie about everything?
It is kind of amazing. Like, I got to tell you, it didn't occur to me when I was defending us, when we were defending ourselves, that we could just be up there and lie.
At least we were truthful and we didn't lie because we thought the truth was the more important thing.
Of course. Mm-hmm. So now I'm to my contemporaneous notes from when the election chair was defending himself. And one of the things he said that I found mind-blowing was that he said, you know, the past elections were just overseen by the president. And that's something that the current president said as well, which is insane. And he says, to my knowledge, there is no handbook for how you're supposed to do branch elections. And like, I hold up the book. And yes, there is literally a handbook in my hand. Uh-huh. And that's the problem.
Well, when I went to go audit on the ballots that came in, they had all the rules and things like
The election rule book.
Books were inside the tub with all the stuff that they were working on. So they had it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. There's access
they
to that.
They decided to say that, oh, we didn't know.
No, it's that nobody bothers to read those rules because they think the rules don't apply to them. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be even more apparent when our president defends himself. Mm-hmm. And that's... Dude, based on the outcome, they're right.
Yeah.
You know?
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah. If you get enough people out.
You got so many people that's...
Right. Then that's it.
Doesn't
you know?
See what's going on and just vote for whoever's incumbent.
Right. Yeah. And you can openly admit to breaking the bylaws and,
openly admit that I didn't do my job and they still get away with it because they're incumbent.
Yeah. Yep. So he says that these were just honest mistakes that he didn't know. The problem with that I see, you know, and look, dude, he made his defense. The branch accepted his defense, and they found him not guilty. I'm not trying to re-adjudicate that, but I'm giving my perspective on it, which is, he said that these were like innocent mistakes, that he didn't know any better. But when they were brought to his attention, he didn't, A, take ownership of it. He didn't say like, oh, shoot, I didn't realize that was the case. What he did was stonewall us mm-hmm. and say, don't talk to me about these things. Mm-hmm. You know, when we asked him, like, how did this stuff get ordered? And everybody's playing dumb. We know now, based on their own admission, they're not dumb. They ordered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that the election
chair... They did it on purpose.
Yeah, the election chair and the president ordered the ballots.
Oh, no. Election chair did not order.
It says in here that the two of them ordered the ballots. Maybe that's something that only the president said or...
I gather, it was only the president who ordered.
Right.
He's the one who conveyed the phone call and ordered it. That's what he said.
Dude, I thought he said they went down there. Either way, dude,
He said only one person can make the phone call because there is no order form because I had to call and make the order. Right, he said it was all done
verbally. Yeah,
that's what he said.
That it was all done verbally. Uh-huh. Right. So, regardless, it's supposed to be done by the election committee and it's supposed to be done with the approval of the branch. And again, they openly admit that they didn't do it that way because it wasn't done that way before. And so now I see, like, the election chair said that, what were the timing of the election, like what time ballots were picked up. We didn't make a charge on that. Mm-hmm. And he talked about a conspiracy theory that I also labeled a conspiracy theory when Mike was talking about it, that the president's ad and the ballots had the same permit number. But again, there were no charges based on that either. Nope. And so, you know, he's up there defending this stuff that we didn't charge him with. Go ahead.
I believe they're defending it because they think that we're charging them for these things because I think they were guilty on it. They're trying to defend what they were guilty with.
Maybe, but again,
but we didn't know they any were of these found, things, so.
You know, the charges were not sustained. Yeah, we didn't charge that. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that he spent his time talking about is how, go ahead.
Out of that whole this thing is that there were all these multiple charges, right?
Yeah.
And so all these multiple charges, it was just one vote.
Right. That was asked by somebody who wasn't us. Yeah. Are we going to vote on all six charges separately or do we vote on just one for the whole thing?
Well, to me personally, we should. I wish we did it separately because that at least we can talk about each separate charge.
Yeah, sure. And at least you'd hear the charge uh-huh. and say, well, like, did he do this? Right. Because again,
they were guilty on all of them.
When you get up there and spend half your time talking about things you weren't even charged with, uh-huh. then it makes you look a lot more innocent.
Right.
Yeah.
But then when you bring it up to vote and read the charges again, since he didn't defend it, he didn't look, now you're guilty.
Yeah. Like, if I get a ticket for speeding and then I get up there and be like, look, I have video proof that I stopped at this stop sign, that I paid that person at McDonald's the full amount. Mm-hmm. Okay, I did those things and I'm innocent, but none of that has to do with me speeding.
Right.
Yeah. And that's essentially what happened.
Yep.
So the other thing that he spent his time up there doing was talking trash about classes of mail. Mm-hmm. Much to my chagrin, he never actually mentioned classes of mail. He didn't say classes of mail.
I wish we got free advertising for you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm sure some people will listen just from the mentions. So that's something. But that essentially that we're spouting unfounded accusations, conspiracy theories, and spreading misinformation. But you know, Michael, all these people who accuse us of spreading misinformation, they never actually say what is misinformation. Exactly. What we said, that's not true.
Then none of them.
Because just like today, mm-hmm. I'm quoting from what he said at the branch. How can he say that it's not true?
Don't get us wrong. Yeah. It's probably not the exact quotes because we know, you know, it's...
Sure.
But it's just the generalized
quotes. And then these are contemporaneous notes while it was happening on my computer. Yep.
And then when... Memory is a little different than my memory is a little different than Alan. That's where we gotta go. I don't think remember it this way.
Right. And that's exactly,
where the opinion comes from.
Yeah, that is exactly. And we're giving our take on mm-hmm. what happened. Yeah. So if there's misinformation here, you know, hey, election chair or now treasurer and president, if you're listening to this and we say some misinformation, tell me what it is. I'll correct it.
Oh, but here's the thing. If they don't like it, they don't have to listen to this either.
Well, sure, of course.
Yeah,
of
that's
course.
The freedom of speech and freedom of hearing. Freedom of choice.
I appreciate...
If you don't like what we're saying, don't listen to it then.
I appreciate the download numbers. You know, it's something.
I'm just saying. They're the ones who's complaining at the hall. If you don't like it, don't listen to it.
Right. And that's something else that the election chair brought up, is that essentially we did all of this just to get ratings on the podcast, that it was more interesting. And, you know, he had accused, like, you know, most of his podcast is just like reading from manuals and giving instruction. And, oh, how boring. Who would want to listen to that? Dude, you should have listened to the episodes I had about the election rules. That would have been very useful to you. Yeah. Yeah. And that's that whole attitude of, oh, I already know what I'm doing. I don't need, you know, I don't need to read the rules. Obviously, you do.
Yeah. I think we need to definitely go on to when our president was defending himself.
Yeah. So we vote. The vote is called. We do a voice vote first, and it gets called for the defendant, of course. Mm-hmm. And then we go to a count. And the count was 49 to 52. And we had five carriers from my station who, to this day, we had so many, we had a bunch of call outs at my station. And so people were getting 3 hour.
Because it was raining. In Vegas, when it rains, nobody wants to go to work.
Yeah, that's true. And so we had like a 3 hour, people were getting 3 hour auxiliary assistance and they couldn't get to the meeting on time. And so we had five people show up just barely too late to take part in this. And then we lost by three votes. And so that's a bummer. Mm-hmm. And so
and there's more to I can add.
There is. We'll get to that maybe in the next one. So then they talk about the committee, the investigating committee talks about the charges against Michael and me, and they decide that they're not going to intervene, that they're just not going to say anything about it, that that's, you know, the branch has already voted, which is true. And I already have my appeal in to the Committee on Appeals. And then the president gets up there and says that that the authority to deal with this has been designated to the business agent, which is true. Mm-hmm. And he says, so we're just waiting to hear from the business agent about how to proceed, which.
And then they said, no, it's going to election.
The Committee on Appeals. Committee
Appeals. So they're not going to make any decisions
and
because
so,
of that.
That's fine. I wasn't going to object to that. Like, that's not my interpretation of what Renfro wrote.
Mm-hmm.
I think, well, I'm just going to let that lie because. That's fine. I've read the letter that Renfro wrote on the podcast, and you know, I wasn't going to argue with him that we needed to proceed on that because, again, our appeal is already in to the Committee on Appeals. Mm-hmm. Or actually, my appeal got read that night at the meeting, and then the branch will have to respond. Guys, you heard the president. Go ahead.
I think you need to send that appeal to Committee of Appeals because I don't trust the secretary to do it.
That's interesting. So, that might not be a bad idea, just to send an additional copy just in case.
That way he doesn't change any wording or things like that.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's probably worth sending separately just in case.
Because right now, I don't trust him anymore.
Right. Yeah, I've got a copy of it
his
sitting out in my car.
His trust has completely gone to zero.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, dude, we didn't even say the other shenanigans that they tried to pull. So after the committee gives their report on the election chair, then the branch secretary, the goodest oldest boy, says, okay, let's move on to other business.
Yeah.
And we're like, other business?
You can't do that.
You
we
got
to go straight to vote to
see
to nod
it. Yeah, and he says, well, no, the committee didn't say that they found him guilty, and so we just move on.
They already said that they get to stay neutral and we make the decision.
Yeah. Dude, and again, so like I had to read from Article 10 in front of him, and I know the guy knows what Article 10 says.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply dishonesty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying anything they can to avoid accountability because, I mean, the guy really did do the things that we accused him of. And he stood up there at the mic and admitted that he did those things.
Mm-hmm.
But the branch found him, you know, voted not to sustain the charges. All right, so we move on to the next committee report, which is the charges against our president. And there are two sets of charges, one from Michael, another one from Leslie, who has been a guest on this podcast as well. And the committee says that they combined the two sets of charges.
Because it was exactly alike.
Because they had a lot of overlap.
Yeah.
And
but there were a few charges that was
not
the same.
Michael's charges essentially got covered in their entirety.
Mm-hmm.
But Leslie's charges, there was a whole other half to her charges about like the way the president treats people that didn't get addressed at all.
Mm-hmm.
They completely discounted it.
Yeah.
And so Leslie asked about it. Mm-hmm. Hey, what about my charges? I got a bunch of stuff in there that you guys didn't talk about. And they said, oh, it's in our report. And so if you want to see what the results of that investigation were, you can ask for the report.
Right.
But like, They're there to give that report to the branch.
Well, so here's where my question is. Since they didn't present that report, does that mean that Leslie can file another
charge? That's a great question. Dude, yeah, because you could say that those charges are unresolved because they never gave their report to the branch. Right, they didn't do that step of Article 10. Possible.
So we'll have to talk to Leslie about it.
Yeah, we may have to talk about that. So we get in now to the committee's findings, and their committee report says that, like, let's see, what are some of the things that we accused him of? Like, I essentially went through the bylaws and the Constitution and listed out all the things that he's supposed to do that he didn't do. And so, like, one of those things is our bylaws. Our bylaws are woefully out of date. There is no extant version of our bylaws, and it's his responsibility as the general supervisor to make sure that we have that. And the committee found that, yeah, there's no bylaws. We charge him with failing to oversee the election properly to make sure that, like, people's rights were sustained. And the committee said that, yes, indeed, he never got branch approval to go with the printing company. You know, they made the same argument about the election, the budget for the election, that it was in the overall budget, and then it got approved later. And, you know, things like that. So let's see what else. Misappropriation of branch funds. They said that appropriations aren't supposed to be made without branch approval. And so that's it. That's what we were looking for, that there were appropriations made without branch approval. Didn't matter. It, you know, and then he got up there and admitted the same thing, essentially.
He literally got up to defend himself for 15 minutes and basically mentioned how, you know, this is how we've been doing it forever.
Right.
And how the ballots that he was touching, he's saying that our previous president always did the same thing.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why you guys are coming down on me when this previous president did the same thing.
Yeah.
He says the ballots, they were spread all over the previous president's office, and I did the same thing, so I don't know why you guys are angry about that.
That's it. Yeah. It was like...
Wait, you had the ballots spread all over the office?
Right, and why is that a problem now? You know, and this, again, this is what we're up against.
Yeah.
Because the previous president ran roughshod over our bylaws, and so I should be able to run roughshod over our bylaws. Mm-hmm. And again, the branch exonerated him. So what happens now? Does he now have carte blanche to run roughshod over the bylaws?
I guess. Like,
I'll give you an example.
Because people voted for him to say that he can break any rules he wants, and he'll get away with every single one.
Right. So one of the ones that we've talked about on the podcast that came up was that if the branch pays for you to go to any kind of special school or a seminar or meeting, then when you come back, you have to hold a seminar to pay it forward to the branch. And if you don't do that within 45 days or something, you got to pay the branch back for all your travel expenses. Right. And, you know, he stands up there and says, like, oh, nobody brought this to my attention until there's charges. And again, I have paper trail that shows that is absolutely not true. 100%. This has been brought to his attention. I've been asking that question.
Now, here's the thing, too, is that we went to the National Convention.
Well, yeah. So I want to build to that. Let me run here for a sec. So he says that, you know, many years ago, way before my time, but he says, you know, many years ago, somebody went to one of these schools, came back to hold a seminar, and only one person showed up. And so we just don't bother.
Well, then he said, because only one person showed up, we don't bother. So now we decided to do it at the meetings. But
he said that he talks about it
in the meeting,
at the meeting. But but I think he acknowledged that doesn't constitute a seminar, that we don't do the seminars.
But that's the reason why he said that they're not doing it, because they bring it in the general meeting.
Right. But we know definitively that's not true, because in the minutes of the meetings, it's not in there. Yeah, it's not in there.
I want to
build to this. So he acknowledged that A, he's not doing the seminars, and B, he's not having other people do the seminars, and he's not paying back the branch. He's not having anybody else pay back the branch. So yes, we have this bylaw. He is openly ignoring the bylaw, admits to ignoring the bylaw. And okay, go ahead, Michael.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
He said, me and Alan
yep.
went to the National Convention.
Yeah, okay? The president said this in his defense.
Allen paid his own way to go to the convention. So that has nothing to do with Allen at all.
Right. Yeah, in his defense, he said, and you know, the people who brought the charges against me, they went to the National Convention and they didn't do a seminar either.
But the thing is, Allen actually paid his own way.
But dude, even that's irrelevant. So that doesn't.
But I pay, now the branch paid for mine.
Yeah.
Okay. But here's the thing. I didn't know about these rules until in the last few months.
And that's not the rules. Because mm-hmm. in the bylaws, mm-hmm. we're talking about special branch approved expenses to mm-hmm. send you to these meetings. The funds for the convention are out of a completely separate portion of the bylaws, and they are not subject to this provision. And either our president still has not bothered to read the bylaws and doesn't know the difference, or B, he is intentionally misleading the branch in his defense. Either one of those is damnable because, dude, do you still not give a shit what the bylaws say, or are you intentionally misleading the branch?
And here's the thing. If they decide to do a seminar,
yeah,
I would have no problem doing it.
Yeah, dude, I would be happy to give a seminar at the branch, and I would be happy to attend a seminar. That's how this shit came up in the first place.
Because, and if they want to do it at the general meeting, I'm fine with that too.
Yeah, well, I saw it in the bylaws mm-hmm. many months ago, like mm-hmm. January or whatever. And I'm like, hey, how do I find out about these seminars? Because this is something I'd be interested in. Additional training, something like that. Dude, I'm all about it. And they're like, oh, yeah, we don't really do them. Or we talk about it at the meeting.
That's because... you know, last year I went to a total of maybe two conventions.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One was the National Convention.
Right.
And the other one was the AFL-CIO.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, it was only I forget, it was some smaller one. But anyway, I would have no problem talking about it at a seminar for those two things. Because AFL-CIO, it's more of a political stuff, but I still had no problem talking
and so
about
it says in the bylaws that like all interested members, mm-hmm. you know, hold this seminar for all interested members. Mm-hmm. How do they even get the word out to anybody who's interested? And that was my initial question mm-hmm. was, hey, I'm interested. How do I go about doing this? Mm-hmm. And then for him to stand up there and say like, oh, well, nobody's brought this to my attention until the charges were filed.
But again, wasn't that the president's job to make sure?
Yes, that's exactly right. That was the point of the uh-huh. charge is like you have this duty and you're not doing it.
Yeah.
And this doesn't excuse you from the reach of the bylaws, you know, and that's where the branch is at a crossroads now, because going forward, it's going to go one of two ways. Either the president is now on notice that, hey, these bylaws exist and you better start following them, or he's now been given carte blanche by the branch. Who cares about the bylaws? Do whatever you want. And it doesn't matter. And if I had to guess which way they're going to go going forward, well, it's hard to say. It could be a little of both.
Well, this is where I pledge to all the carriers mm-hmm. here in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That when I see him not do his job, I will hold him accountable.
Yeah, me too.
Because I know for a fact that our trustees will not, especially when president's girlfriend is a trustee.
Right.
Our treasurer's wife is a trustee.
Sure.
Do you think they're really going to hold him accountable?
Well, we know for a fact they haven't because they never brought this up.
Right.
That, hey, they're not paying back the branch. This is in violation of the bylaws. It's a financial issue that violates the bylaws. And mm-hmm. no, the trustees never held them accountable for it.
So, you know, I pledge that I will, me and I'm sure Alan will.
Oh, yeah.
That if we see them doing stuff wrong, that we'll bring it up and we'll file charges if we have to.
Right. Right.
But here's the thing. We will ask them first. We're not going to just charge.
Just like
the charge.
We did this time.
Yeah.
Just like this time.
We will ask first. Hey, man, just in case you forgot.
Yeah.
And that's how it's going to be.
Right. And no one is above the rules. Mm-hmm. The rules exist for a reason. The rules are what we've all agreed to. And just because you're the president, and this goes for the United States as well.
And
because you're the president doesn't mean the rules don't apply to you.
So this includes even if we lose the re-election, I will still do what I can to hold them accountable. They're going to hate me, but I don't care.
You know, dude, other union
they activists already hate me anyway.
Wear it as a badge of honor when they get kicked out of a union meeting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was close for me this time.
Yeah, you were. Yeah, so
we'll bring that up.
So the president gives his defenses. We'll get back to this a little bit from my contemporaneous notes. He talks about not appointing stewards to fill vacant positions. And his defense is that it has to be earned. It's not just like a birthright.
Which is not true.
Well, but all he can have that opinion if he wants. But my question to him before we brought the charges was, what steps are you taking to fulfill your obligation to get these positions filled? And he never said what he was doing to get it filled, because he wasn't doing anything to get it filled. And that's what we accused him of. But then he stood up there and defended himself of a different charge, you know, defended himself differently from what was actually accused. Yeah.
Well, mainly because he just wants people that's kissing his ass. That's what it was.
Well, not yeah, right. That's the real requirement.
They really want to be a steward.
Sure, for being a steward. Yeah, exactly. So when he gets into the section about the mishandling of the elections, he openly says, like Michael was saying, that this is the way the old president always did it. And I went by what I saw him doing. And that's, you know, he says it was mistakes, but they weren't malicious. But isn't it funny how the mistakes, every single one of them, seemed to favor the incumbents? What a coincidence. I wonder if that's how our previous president got elected so many times.
Well, that he admitted that.
Yeah.
He admitted that he was doing the same thing that he was doing.
That's how I've seen it done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he also had this refrain again and again, the president, that this has always been okay in the past. What's with all this? Like, he referred to it as a come to Jesus moment where people suddenly care about the rules. Well, you're listening to it right now. What this is about is that I actually went and read the rules and said, hey, we're not doing these things and we should be. That's what it's about.
Right.
And before that, people didn't read the rules.
But it's pathetic that he was using our previous president who's passed away and using him as the cover.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pathetic.
And none of that exonerates you. Like when it was time, like, hey, I think I'm going to run for office, I went and read the fucking rules. He's been in office for who knows how long as a vice president, executive vice president, now president.
And treasurer.
And yeah, and all these positions, never bothered to read the bylaws before. Like, that's the excuse.
Then what did he do as a treasurer?
Well, dude, and again, like this
what
is
what did he do with the money?
This is how he defended himself. Like, oh, nobody ever follows the rules. You know, what's this about? Like, how the fuck is that a defense?
Mm-hmm.
But again, he was exonerated.
I have a story on that too.
Well, go for it. No, I'm pretty much fine. Okay.
So, anyway, after whole voting, and since we already told you about the voting, Alan got real sick and he had to leave.
Well, before that, though, I want to talk more about some of the things that...
I told you I was going to go on, but you said
that
you were done.
I didn't know you were going to go on that far. All right.
I'm giving Alan crap.
Yeah, that's fine. So he talks about that, you know, nothing nefarious happened, that it was all just innocent mistakes. But again, if that's the case, why put all the effort into hiding it?
Yep.
Why put all the effort into not... just telling
and I'm
us
telling you,
what happened.
Multiple meetings that we were at, we kept asking him to basically to be transparent. He kept saying, I'm not saying nothing.
Yeah. And his excuse for that was that he wanted to make sure that the election chair got a fair trial.
Yeah.
But again, the election chair had the same defense that this was all done. Like,
it could have been done and over with if we had communication.
They could. And he said that too. If you would have just brought this to our attention.
Which we did
many times. Dude, I have emails going back to October 1st about the election that happened in November, pointing out this stuff that was happening and just getting stonewalled.
Yeah. And we asked about why the pre-source standard was sent out. We asked, but no, and the answer that all they ever came back at was stop harassing me.
Yeah, I just went and read those emails again right before you came over. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he says up there, the president standing at the mic, people should have just asked me about it.
We did,
and we have paper trails. So again, right, we have this dichotomy that either I was going to say that maybe he just forgot that all this stuff, but there's no way. We have the emails that when we did ask him about it, and we did not get answers. We got stonewalled. So to say that, people should have just asked me, it doesn't have to come to this. Dude, he's the reason that it came to this.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't answer the questions when asked.
And here's the thing. If our president, our election chair, and anybody else that's in our president's team, if they were all doing their job and they were all protecting the carriers,
yeah,
I would not even be running against him.
Yeah,
because absolutely. I would trust him to do the job right.
That is exactly right.
And same with Alan. He wouldn't be running at all.
No,
I'd have all been we'd be like doing is, hey, we just want to be stewards.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Because why would I go against somebody if he's doing his job right?
Right. So one of the things I have here, and this is a direct quote, he said, the solution is a like to all these problems. The solution is a conversation. Dude, we tried that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's just being disingenuous.
Yes, the solution is conversation they refuse to do.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
Yeah. And if all this stuff is done innocently, mm-hmm. then why hide it? Mm-hmm. Why put all this effort into stonewalling, into not telling us the truth when we're directly asked?
Well, by the way, they kept saying that we're lying on and we're not telling the truth in this podcast.
Yeah, that we're spreading misinformation. Mm-hmm. Where is it? Where's the misinformation? Because again, the shit that's being labeled as conspiracy theory, he's standing up there admitting to it mm-hmm. and saying that this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to the vote and we know that people are intimidated by our president. Yes. And we know firsthand that he will retaliate against people who stand up to him.
And I've had people come up to me that they don't like to vote because they feel the retaliation.
Right.
Because that people wants to, they're like stewards.
Yeah.
They don't want to get retaliation from the current administration.
Yeah.
Because they're there for their carriers and they don't want the current people to mess, you know, not work.
You heard it from me on a previous episode of this podcast that I was concerned about retaliation and was just going to keep my head down.
And so I was fighting for secret ballot.
Right. So we wanted it to have to vote by secret ballot.
Okay.
And Michael made the motion.
Yes.
At first, in the charge against the election chair,
mm-hmm.
we first did a voice vote. And then it wasn't clear. And so we're like, hey, let's do secret ballot.
Oh, no. It was very clear.
Well.
In the fact that they said, oh, nays have it.
Yeah, yeah. The nays have
it. Oh, no. It was not.
It was not.
Because it was 50-50.
Right, right. Yeah, it was very
clear
very
that
close.
That was not that close.
Right. Yeah. And so we called for secret ballot. But then I'm looking at Robert's rules. And, okay, if you're going to do secret ballot, you have to do it before the votes are cast.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we're Robert's rules people. You know, I'm not going to try to break the rules just for our benefit. So now we get to the vote against the president. Michael raises his hand. Hey, I make a motion that we do this by secret ballot.
Yeah. And then they go, that does not exist.
Right.
And I go, yes, it does exist because we've done it before at our branch.
Yeah.
I said, yes, it does exist.
The last time charges were brought against our president.
Yeah.
They were done by secret ballot.
And then I brought up the Robert's Rule order says that I can do this.
Right.
And they go, oh, no, the Robert's Rule don't matter because our constitution says this. And then I'm thinking, I'm going, wait a second. We're supposed to follow the Robert's Rules order. So what are you saying? No.
Yeah. Unfortunately, our
investigative... committee that investigated this whole charge, who said they're going to butt out and they're not going to be involved in any of the politics of our union. One of them actually says, it's not in our constitution. You cannot have the secret ballot.
Yeah, I've never heard of a secret vote.
I've never heard of a secret ballot, so you can't have that.
Yeah.
How is she making that decision? And of course, our president and secretary are like, well, yeah, it doesn't exist, so we can't have this secret ballot.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is, again, how the incumbents wield their power to keep the competition down, because we were right, obviously, mm-hmm. that, yes, we can do this vote by secret ballot if we vote for it. You make a motion, it gets sustained.
So, which is funny, this person came from Branch 1100, okay? I'm not going to mention name, but it came from Branch 1100. And which is funny, only a few days prior, I was reading posted some notes from somebody who's from CLC, talked about how Branch 11 has got some major fights going to happen because our current NBA favors Brian Renfro, okay? And and our current vice president...
I'm not party to any of this.
Current vice president is running for president. And so there is a split amongst Branch 1100. So there's going to be a lot of fights going on. And so when this lady who's retired, came from Branch 1100, says, you can't do this, you can't do that. I'm thinking to myself, I'm going, oh boy, the good old boy system is at Branch 1100 too.
I don't know. You know,
that's my opinion.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm not going to speak to that.
Because I don't know exactly what's going on at Branch 1100.
Again, you know, what we're up against as challengers is the president or who was in his stead that at that point is up there with the gavel. And yeah, we can always appeal. Mm-hmm. And we might win that appeal, and that, and you know, we could ask Renfro, like, "Hey, we need a ruling on." Hold on.
When he smacked the gavel, okay. I asked for a secret ballot. Like, why are you doing that before we asked for a secret ballot? You know that we can ask for a secret ballot. But he knew that I was going to ask for that,
and you got called out of order for asking for that. Yeah. So let's say
he hit the smack the gavel so fast.
So let's say we go to President Renfro and we ask for a presidential ruling that, hey, can we do votes by secret ballot at our meetings? And he writes back and says, yeah, of course, as long as that's what your branch decides. Well, that's all well and good, but we can't go back and redo this vote.
Right.
And so this is the way.
No, we're still going. I'm still going to write a letter to Brian Renfro and ask the decision for future purposes.
Right. Right. Just because it's going to come up again.
Yeah.
But this is the way. This is one of the many ways that the people who are in power now manipulate the system.
Only in their favor.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Just like the rulings that the goodest oldest boy makes. Uh-huh. Like, he'll make opposite rulings from one meeting to another.
Mm-hmm. You can't vote on this. He didn't, because the investment committee didn't see any guilt.
Right. Yeah. Because they didn't come out and say
that's
that
he's guilty. That's why we got to vote for it.
Yeah. A deliberate misinterpretation of Article 10.
Yeah.
And the guy knows better for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's just dishonest.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And again, our president, when he was standing there defending himself, he literally also said that the our treasurer is the guilty party.
Yes, I don't know why, wanted to get into that.
Why? Right. You guys are not charging our treasurer. Why are you charging us? So let me tell you a story on that. Because we went to the treasurer and asked for the invoices and so forth. And you know what her answer was? I have no freaking clue. So she did the due diligence and found out and called the printing company and got the invoice. And then she printed them out in a general meeting and handed it out to everybody that was at the general meeting. So she didn't do anything wrong.
Right. Yeah, she did what she's supposed to do to protect the branch's finances.
Yeah. Yeah. They're trying to blame her for stuff that he did. But here's the thing. It literally says that it is the president and the election committee's responsibility to make sure that the election process goes smooth.
Right. Okay? It's the election committee's responsibility, but the president has like general supervisory authority. So he has responsibility as well.
The only thing is that because he's running for president, he's not supposed to touch the ballots whatsoever, of including ordering it.
Yeah, of course. That's why these rules are in place. But he ain't interested in the rules.
And the reason that I asked the treasurer, hey, by the way, since you're the treasurer, shouldn't you have any information on how, what's being ordered since you have to pay for it?
Right. And she said, yes, I should.
I should, but I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
Because they haven't told me anything. And I go, okay, maybe you should get some more information.
Yeah. And I mean, that's how we got the invoice in the first place. That had the president's name on it that wound up being a key piece of evidence. And again, he admitted that, yes, he did order the ballots, but got found not
guilty.
And by
the way, our treasurer had two invoices because all of a sudden a second one appeared after the first invoice, changing stuff in the second invoice.
You know, I saw
and
that.
And gave that to the investment committee, and they did not even say that.
Well, I saw that, and I don't know, like, it one changed from, like, supplies to postage or something like that.
It looks like they ordered pre-sort standard.
I don't know.
And then they changed something else. It almost looked like they were trying to hide something.
I didn't get that from looking at it. I saw both invoices. I don't know.
I mean, again, there's no proof, but why would you make a second invoice?
And why...
Why is there a second
one? If you think you're not doing anything wrong, why put all these calories into hiding it?
Yeah, because the money is still exactly the same.
Right.
You know, because if there was any change, to me, like the president said, is that, we messed up on the printing thing, so we're going to give you a discount next time.
Right.
So if there was a second invoice, maybe that was to give any discount, but there was no such.
No, there was no change. Yeah. So it was just more one line item got reworded.
Because I doubt that we're even going to get a discount on the next one.
Well,
I would love regardless to get, you know... Because I would love to see the invoice of the next one, the re-election one. How much I'm betting that it'll be about $700 less.
I don't see how it could be because like just the return postage alone on the return envelopes would be way more than
that. The only amount that was changed from one to the second invoice was $732.
I don't know.
So if that amount goes lower on the re-election, then we know that that's a problem somehow.
I don't know, dude. My guess is.
I don't
see it.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to make an opinion and then say something because I think that money was used from the branch for our present purpose.
I don't know. But there is no proof. The investigator said that they saw. Oh no, the election chair said that he saw the president's invoice for his own ad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. And yeah, I have no evidence to the contrary. Mm-hmm. You know. So okay.
Oh,
so
that was another thing too.
Yeah,
our election chair said he got a copy of the invoice of the stuff that he ordered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Then maybe he should have shown it to everybody in the fact that
well. I mean, that's his own personal finances, and that's, you know.
At least he could have shown something.
Dude.
Admit to say something.
He could have acknowledged mm-hmm. his role instead of harassing me. Yeah, exactly. Because, again, we're asking reasonable questions that he had answers to.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
And then to say after the fact, well, why didn't people just talk to me? Dude.
Well, we sure tried.
Yeah, we sure tried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's all done.
Right.
Then we move on to the regular running of business.
Right.
For the branch.
When did you leave?
Well, I mean, I left at like 9:15.
I know about what part?
Yeah, it was right after the Lickpiff person was up there telling us all we need to donate to the political fund.
That was John Bowman or something?
I'm not sure the guy's name. No, he was up there for quite a while, but it's important, you know, especially now. Donate to the Medicare political fund.
Because we're fighting for our post office.
I'm drinking... That is my Letter Carrier Political Fund mug that's really good swag. This stuff is high quality. And it is my preferred drinking vessel. But anyway, so right after that is when I had abdominal distress and I had to leave. And once I got in the car, it turned out it was just gas. But better that I did not stay.
Hey, at least you didn't let it out in the...
Yeah, exactly.
He was sitting right next to me.
I was, yeah. And it would have been enough to fill that room.
So anyway...
Yeah.
After he left.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, okay. So then we get to the committee report.
Now, here's the thing.
Officer reports.
The officer reports, and they were trying to pass all the money for the year.
Okay? Right, right.
So some questions did happen, and I don't want to go involve too many of the stuff that's in there, but mm-hmm. one big thing
mm-hmm.
where I was talking to some other people about, okay?
Okay.
Was that it said leases for $17,000. It was either 15 or 17. I can't remember right now.
Okay.
Okay. And so, of course, there's me. I raised my hand.
Yeah.
What are the leases for?
Yeah, what are we leasing?
Now, this is when our treasurer goes, well, there's a lease for the water machine, you know, for the water.
Okay. What's that, $30 a month?
Is that $30 a month, $360 a year?
Yeah.
You know, that's not much when there's
$17,000 worth of stuff. I wish I'd have been there for that. This sounds interesting.
$17,000 worth of stuff, right? Yeah. And I said, what other thing? Oh, it's the copier also. Copier? I said, what do you mean copier?
I said,
we had a meeting said that you were buying the copier.
Right.
Not leasing a copier. So what happened? We never said that. Yes, you did. You stood in front because I kept asking that question over to you.
Right.
Are you buying it or are you leasing it? And you said, you're buying it. I'm like, great, because I'll approve this as long as you buy the copier.
Yeah, because it was pretty affordable for buying it.
We'd rather have it be paid for instead of renting it because that seems to me is a waste of money.
Sometimes it's not. It depends. Like renting, well, they
mentioned that we're doing that because it's because we're leasing, and if anything goes wrong with the copier,
then they fix it.
They fix it for free. That we don't have to pay anything extra for it.
Yeah.
But to me,
just like with the ice cream machines at McDonald's.
Yeah, but to me, it works when great. It's $17,000. You can't hire somebody for $500 to fix it?
I don't know.
And buy a printer for $5,000?
I mean, maybe
then you have $10,000 to spend on something else?
Maybe it includes all the toner and stuff. You know, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. So, but anyway.
But yeah, these are good questions.
That was mentioned. Yeah, and then the carriers I talked to later, they go, we all remember that we voted to buy the...
To buy the printer,
copier.
Yeah,
and not the copier, lease it.
Yeah.
So that one of the guys who voted for... our election chair and for our president, he goes, oh, I can see that they're messing with the money now. Because he was at the meeting
where they said they were going to buy it and now they're leasing it.
They're like, why are they lying? I go, oh, maybe that's the reason why we want them out, because they lie about money?
Dude. Well, luckily we have the trustees on the job who will make sure.
Oh yeah, we got the president's girlfriend and treasurer's wife watching them and what they're doing, right?
And never call them
to hold them accountable.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, out of all that,
then came up
as our health benefit officer.
Right. I can't wait to hear this report about our health benefits.
Oh, my. Yeah. He came up there and said a little bit, maybe 10 seconds about health benefit. Then he went on about how he had a disagreement with the Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
Okay. And literally said that he had this problem with Alan. He never mentioned his name. So okay. I'll take that. He never mentioned Alan's name.
Okay.
Said that he had an argument with him at East Las Vegas.
It's true. This did happen.
And he was so butthurt on what Alan said that he had to mention about Beavis and Butthead show. I go, wait, you had an argument with Alan, but you want to say Beavis and Butthead, calling me names too now?
Sure, bringing Michael into it. Yeah.
Which him and I had never had an argument.
I got no problem with this.
Never had a talk before, except for very little bit. I think him and I had total maybe a 1 minute conversation in my lifetime.
Right. Well, you're guilty by association. But okay. I'm okay with all of this as long as I'm Butthead.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I'm Beavis, hard to tell then we got issues.
I got long hair and you have no hair.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah,
it's kind of hard when Beavis said, I don't know. But either way,
yeah,
he was trying to use that as a slander and not...
Sure, as an insult. Yeah,
as an insult. Okay? Right. And so when he was talking about how it was bad about this, think about it. I mean, he was just literally talking shit about Alan and I.
Right, and about classes of mail.
Yeah, and about class of mail. And then here's me. I go, whoa. You know, you guys are the one who filed a charge saying we're defaming you. Defaming. Yeah, you're standing in the general meeting and calling us names and over. and we're telling you that you are using that as a slander and you need to stop.
And plus, what does this have to do with the health benefits
exactly. report? Exactly. None whatsoever. And so right when that was said, he's like, no, not yet.
Okay.
He goes, well, this is my time and I can just say whatever I want. And I go, And he kept saying the Beavis and Butthead was doing this, then doing that.
Right.
And then of course me, because I'm saying, no, you keep talking shit about people on your health benefit report and that's wrong. You need to stop. Okay. So DC, our
Sergeant at Arms,
said, Michael, you need to stop interrupting his report.
The report, right?
Yeah. I'm going to kick you out. I go, if you're going to kick me out, then you need to kick him out because he won't stop slandering somebody else.
Right, during his alleged report about health benefits. Yeah.
And that's when our Sergeant Arms looked around the whole group.
Right.
Everybody was getting angry, like, dude, what are you doing?
Right.
And so that's when he just said, hey, our health benefit officer, you need to stop what you're doing because you need to talk about health benefit. You know, you need to bring your officer report. And you know what he said?
What's that?
Oh, I'm bringing the report, so don't mind me. I'll bring the report. He brings up the report and just starts talking shit about Beavis and Butthead again. And so I yell out, can you stop slandering us? And you know what he goes? Well, then we'll change it to Cheech and Chong. And then I go, then finally, our sergeant, I said, he tells the health benefit, like, dude, you need to talk about health benefit, and not talk about somebody else.
Right.
That's when he finally stopped. Fine, I'm done. And then walked away.
Then
we started calling us Cheech and Chong.
Well, in that case, I don't care which one I am. I'll be Cheech or Chong. That's fine. But in Beavis and Butthead, I better be Beavis. Or Butthead, I mean.
So that whole ordeal happened.
Yeah. Okay. And this is like part of why we're speaking truth to power here. Because we don't have that bully pulpit to stand up there and say these things. And so, you know, I want to get back.
Oh, I even mentioned saying, hey, Alan's not here because you left.
Yeah.
I said, don't stop.
That's on me.
Yeah. Can you stop talking with somebody who's not here who can't defend himself?
Right.
And he still went and on and on and on.
Well, dude, I mean, look, we're talking about the people at our branch who are not here, right?
That's true. Defend themselves. That's true. Yeah. But that's the general meeting who's supposed to talk about health benefit. Which had nothing to do with. So he literally was defaming us in the general meeting in front of 100 people.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe I'll do this, you know.
But as a leader, they're not supposed to do that.
Right.
As a member, we can.
The Department of Labor makes a distinction between officer speech and member speech. Yeah, that is absolutely right. And there is a different burden for those things. Yeah. Oh, which, hey, I got to give a shout out to Fred Woodley of Delivering Solidarity podcast, because before we went to this meeting, he tried to temper my optimism because I'm always optimistic. It's just I'm a Pollyanna. It's who I am. And I always think people are going to abide by the rules. And you know, it's just who I am. And he says, like, you better be ready for the retirees to come out in force. You're going to see it's going to look like a nursing home when you walk in. And that's exactly what it looked like. Yeah. And he said that you have to remember that this, like, Region 1 presidents, because that's who came and investigated, or, you know, that they're in this club. And your president's in that club, too.
Yep.
And so they may not be, like, they may appear that they're giving this impartial investigation, but it may not be as, you know, pointed as you want it to be. And he was exactly right about that, too.
And there's more stuff happened after he left.
Okay.
Okay. And just like our president asking me, hey, do you think you can do a better job than me? And I go, definitely.
Yeah, that's why you're running against him.
Because in reality, if I actually don't do any of the stuff that he is not doing, that I'm already doing better than
he would right.
Be.
Just by reading the bylaws, you're already one up on
just him. By because, giving people bylaws every time they get hired, that's already doing better than what he was
doing.
And
dude, he said in his defense that we are now giving the bylaws to new hires. I don't know, we got a new hire coming on
my station. Getting
them. I don't
them.
Think that's true. Right.
He was completely lying because he said that our website has the bylaws and it's still not active.
So I went back and reviewed my notes for that. And he said that he has gotten in touch with the computer person to update that. He didn't say that it was already done. Mm-hmm. I know for sure because I have very good
And then he goes, oh, we need to find somebody to do that. So how did he contact somebody when he said he's going to go find somebody else?
And again, are our bylaws now up to date and extant?
But I'm saying he says one thing and then says another thing.
Yeah, right. And there's no opportunity to call him on that because he's giving his defense. Although when Michael and I were giving our defense the month before, we got interrupted tons of times.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did. And that was by all
members of the executive board and, you know, rules for thee, but not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's more.
Okay. Yeah, keep going.
So our sergeant of arms decided, oh, you know what? I'm going to talk. Okay. Now here's everybody's like, okay, we're done.
This is the last one.
There's nothing left. It, on our list of all the stuff that's supposed to happen in our list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I forget that. I missed one thing on that before we go to the DC. Okay.
Our appeal for our discipline.
Your appeal was read.
Yeah, the appeal of us being convicted by the branch the month before. Right.
And so the appeal was read about how we wanted to have a conversation before we filed these charges.
Right.
And people were actually, from what I guess, that was still there, listen to that. They're like, wait, this wouldn't happen if they actually had a conversation with us?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Somebody actually said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at least some people are paying attention to what's happening. Okay. Yeah. But anyway, so that happened. But anyway, out of the whole ordeal, finally, towards the end, our sergeant of arms decided to speak his report.
Uh-huh.
Which, how does sergeant of arms
What is the report?
What is the report sergeant from sergeant of arms?
Hey, no. Everybody's
so
here.
So his report is putting more brown stuff on his nose, okay? And so he decided to come up and just talk so much about how great our president is and how this new people that's in there is great and how this and then. And the people would raise their hands, which was for the president. Yeah, I know our president has done this and now this and our and so forth. And then I raise my hand and he keeps ignoring me.
Okay.
Okay. And they ignore me. And then I raise and wave and he would go from one corner and then I'd go to the next corner. But because I was sitting right in the dead center of the room, there is no way that you cannot make a mistake that I'm not raising my hand.
Sure.
Okay. So I kept raising, waving at him. And finally, after about 15 minutes of him just BSing and
his
nose
minutes.
Is getting longer and getting more brown.
Because it's like 11 o'clock at night now.
It couldn't have been
15 minutes.
It was, people were getting angry.
Dude, that's so disrespectful to people's time.
Because we're all trying to leave.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's there talking more about how great our president is. And I kept raising my hand and raising my hand. And you know what? Finally, he goes, so Michael, he said, I'm on the podium. This is my time. And you need to give me my time. I'm going, I have no problem with your time, but you allowed other people to talk and not me. Uh-huh. So I'm just wondering when my turn is. Well, when it's your turn, then I'll let you know. Oh, okay. I just want to make sure that you knew that I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
Right?
Go on.
And so he decided to go. So finally he goes, all right, Michael, I'm finished. So you can do whatever you want. Okay, no problem. I thank you very much for letting me talk.
Uh-huh. I don't remember where this is going.
Oh, I do know.
Yeah. All right, go so, ahead. I wait with bated breath.
Because he did so much brown nosing, you know, and everybody else getting sick of this whole brown nosing, okay, because it was a shit show. Uh-huh. And so I go, hey, by the way, our EVP, who's our current president, was he was that for 6 years. His whole job.
Oh, dude, you missed the setup. Because the setup was like, we need to give people a chance to get used to the job. Yeah.
Well,
new,
he was brown-nosing, saying that, hey, by the way.
You missed that part.
Yeah. By the way, I want everybody to know that he's only been doing this for a short amount of time. So with all these mistakes, you got to allow him to make these mistakes for him to fix it because he doesn't know what he's doing. So you guys need to allow him to fix the problem. I go, oh, so he not only did he admit that he said that he was not doing his job right, he said that he's new, so he needs time to learn. And he was brown nosing so much that I actually said, dude, this guy was elected executive vice president for 6 years. His whole job as the EVP is to learn how to do president's job in case the president can't do his job anymore. Just like our president who passed away.
Was he really executive vice president for 6 years?
Oh, yeah. I take it back. 5 years. Because he became the president.
Right. But
was
he EVP for two full terms?
Basically, that's two full terms.
Ah, I did not know that. Yeah. I thought that
because
the election chair
because
was the
previous election, we had COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
nothing really happened. Yeah, yeah. So they became incumbent winners.
I didn't realize that he was
by acclamation because nobody ran against him because nobody wanted to do election stuff.
That's fine.
In the middle of COVID.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, the moral of the story is he said plenty of time.
Yeah.
And dude, I know from reading the bylaws, you could read the whole thing in about an hour.
So when I said that, hey, you know, he was the executive vice over this, you know, I said 6 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's how long.
Regardless, it's been plenty of time
and
to
so
crack
then
open
I
the
asked,
bylaws.
Then I asked the president, who was the EVP before, asked him, hey, man, you know, how long were you an officer of our branch? And you know what his answer was?
What's that?
Nothing. I'm not going to answer that. That was his answer. Do you know why? Because he's been in our office in branch for probably 20 plus years.
I couldn't tell
you. Because he was a treasurer. He was this. He was so many other things that he's been doing it in the office for 20 plus years.
You'd think he'd know the rules by now.
So you'd think he'd know the rules by now. There is no way you can say, oh, by the way, we're going to give him a slip on the wrist because, you know, he's brand new. He's not brand new. I'm brand new. Alan's brand new. Yeah. We're not brand new on the rules. We know we're stewards, so we know the steward stuff. Right. But the actual office is that, you're right. We're brand new. But the sad part is, I believe me and Alan can get in the office, do a better job.
Right. And likewise, if somebody brought to my attention that, hey, you know, the bylaws say you're supposed to do X, my response, you know, I could go the way of, oh, since you are, you know, bring that up, I'm going to fire you from the Carrier Academy. I guess that's one way to go. But to me, it's like, dude, thanks for letting me know about this. I'm going to make sure that gets done. And obviously, that ain't the way the current administration wants to handle it.
So right now, with the NALC and our NBA doing everything to favor the incumbent and allowing them to do whatever they want, investigative committee, them to do this and that. So it is almost an impossible hill for us to win this election. Okay, because we even asked for re-election to be overseen by national, but it looks like they're trying to forego that too. They're trying to delay the re-election as long as possible because if we don't do the election by September, it's null and void because you have to do all the re-election by the end of the year.
I haven't heard that.
Oh, yes. That's in the rules too because it actually says that you have to do it. Otherwise, you have to wait till the following re-election. Okay,
you'd have to show that to me because I've read the rules.
Yeah, it says that.
So
election has to be in place before the year ends.
Let's wrap this up and talk about some of the more positive takeaways. All right, one of the ones that I want to focus on is that among carriers, right, we have more carriers than anybody else in this branch. And among carriers who were at the meeting, people who put mail in their hands, we carried the night overwhelmingly.
Yes.
We got a supermajority of people who actually handle mail.
Yes.
And that's something because when it's election time.
Before we continue.
Go ahead.
There's another story.
Okay.
So the week before the general meeting, our hall decided to spread rumors that I was talking crap about somebody's kids
that's true.
To our stewards.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is not true. Did not happen. I did not talk Mm-hmm. Nothing about nobody's kids ever.
Right, because notice nobody can say like what you actually said.
Because I don't even know anything. What it is. Yeah. Nobody knows exactly what I said. I have no idea what I said.
Right.
Because there's rumor is saying that I said shit, but nobody knows seems to know exactly what I said. Okay?
Right.
And I don't even know exactly what I said because because I didn't say it. And they were spreading these rumors before the general meeting. And so the steward, who's the husband and wife, doing the steward thing at my station now, because, you know, I didn't run because I can only run for one office. So I can't be a steward and the president. So it wouldn't allow me to be a steward. And they won't, and he won't install me as a steward because, you know, I'm going against him.
Sure.
So the people that are running and got the position is a husband and wife. And so since I talk crap about their kids, now they're all angry and decided to vote for Paul.
Well, it goes to show you that that sort of thing.
And so there's two votes that automatically he won because he decided somebody at the branch decided to call them and told them that I said this as a rumor and they believed it.
Right. And now notice that when Michael accuses somebody of spreading disinformation, he's very specific about what the disinformation is and what the actual reality is. Mm-hmm. As opposed to the people who are just maligning the podcast out of hand and saying we're spreading disinformation. Okay, where is it? Mm-hmm. What's the disinformation? So how do you know that that rumor came from the Union Hall?
Oh, because the person that I was talking to, which I did not mention anything bad about the kids. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. Just to give it, let everybody know that exactly what happened in this conversation. Okay. I had this steward, alternate steward, call me and for 30 minutes on the phone. To find out that why carriers are getting angry that our steward is going to San Francisco for 5 months. And so I told her, I said, look, people are probably angry because she just became a steward. And now she's going to be gone for 5 months. So it looks like that she's abandoning the carriers at my station for 5 months. So that could be one of the reasons why she could be angry. Mm-hmm. So she didn't like that answer. She's like, no, there's got to be another answer. She kept probing.
Okay.
And so me being dumb at that point, decided to say, well, the other reason might be, is that she has kids. And so if she has kids, why would she leave for 5 months? I don't understand. And so
you did talk about her kids.
But I didn't talk. Did I say anything bad about the kids?
No, of course not.
But this is what happened.
Right. This is how.
So this alternate steward decided to tell that to the hall. Mm. And the hall told that to our steward saying that I'm talking shit about their kids, which is not true. Because this is the actual story.
Right.
What happened.
Right.
I have no problem exactly letting people know exactly what happened.
There you go. Okay?
It was something that I was letting that person know why people might think that way. Not because I'm thinking that way, what people might think that way, because she kept asking me that question.
Okay?
So it wasn't even me thinking that way.
Sure. Okay?
And so they turned that around and turned it as a rumor. And somehow, you know what happened?
Tell me.
This person who spread the rumor to the hall, all of a sudden, the day that the rumor was being spread, became a full steward. On that day, somehow
you gotta earn your place.
Our president
right?
says, "Great job!"
Yeah, you gotta.
Well,
earn
I'll
your
make
place.
A steward now,
dude.
So is that what you gotta do to become a steward to spread rumors about other people?
Well, he says you can't just, you know, you gotta earn it. You don't just get it.
She
you
earned earn it by it. Spreading
yeah.
rumors.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's exactly what happened for people who doesn't know. Is that this is exactly what dude. Happened? I did okay. not talk shit about no kids because I don't even know their kids. I've never met their kids.
So let's get back to the positive takeaways.
So sorry again, about that.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So once again, we have the people who actually carry mail, the people that are the vast majority of members of our local supported us.
Yes.
And
yes.
came out, you know, and voted so, with us.
Yeah. So unfortunately, this is where I told Alan because he had a stomach problem.
Yep.
That it did not look good because it didn't look like you were fighting him further. Because you left early.
Dude,
but
yeah.
unfortunately, you got a problem.
Yeah. And in hindsight, I should have... Michael was 100% right about the secret ballot. Mm-hmm. And I should have fought more with that. Like, I really didn't say anything except, Michael, I don't think we're going to win this fight.
I was the only one fighting.
Yeah.
Nobody else spoke out about it.
And you were 100% right about that. And that should have been a much bigger issue.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyway.
And the reason I know it was much a bigger issue because there was at least a dozen people that was not voting. They probably would have voted.
They would have voted on if it was secret ballot. Yeah, yeah. So that tells us that we do have that support. The support is there, especially among carriers. We need to turn out carriers at the re-election. You know, that's the goal. That's the objective. We got to help them to understand why it's important. And I think also, you know, the feedback that I got from the carriers at my station, who a lot of them, this might have been their first union meeting, is now we get it. Like we get, you know, I thought that I took the next day off as a mental health day. Like, dude, this has been very taxing. And then I went to my station on Friday and the support was phenomenal. Like I wanted to go around and tell everybody, thank you very much for coming out. You know, I really appreciate it. They were coming up to me and saying like, man, now we see what you've been fighting against this whole time and how unbalanced the system is. And it's turned them into more ardent supporters, which is phenomenal. And I think that's going to happen at stations around the city because the rank and file carriers, the rank and file of our union, they see what's going on and they don't like it.
So, and here's the thing too is, you know, our branch, you know, passed money for $5,000 for a file cabinet before. And I remember I'm the one who was fighting it and I still lost because all his friends were still there. Okay. But things like that, when they were trying to pass something to use more money from our branch, because they really want to use that a lot of that money because we got over $1 million in our branch. Okay. And so, you know,
and it jumped quite a bit. We profited another $200,000 or so during the last year.
Yeah. So, and there is some lot of stuff that they passed when everybody left, and they passed it to approve on over $400,000 worth of money. Okay.
Yeah, right. The total annual budget. Yeah.
So I don't know because there's so much stuff under it. I can't by myself look at all the stuff that's being spent.
Yeah, you don't know.
So I don't know, but there are some other stuff that they have to bring up what they're spending the money on, just like even though they got the approval of that money now. But again, by law, say anytime it's still more than $500, they still have to present it to the members.
Okay.
So I believe that even though they got approved for this amount for whatever,
I don't know
that if there's more coming up when it's more than $500, I think they still have to. But either way, we still have to.
I don't know if it works that way or not, because like let's say they do a paper order for $1,000. Well, it's already part of their paper budget.
Yeah,
you know, or the utilities. The utilities are probably more than $500.
Now they added saying that our money for the election is included with the office supplies, which that seems weird.
Yeah, and you know that's dishonest because we had to have a separate appropriation for the office, and the investigator said the same thing.
Right,
that there should have been a will approve not more than this amount.
So what I'm saying is things like that they're trying to pass at the meetings. Okay.
No. Hold on. I'm going to push back on this because that's when it has to be passed is at the meeting. This is the way the system is supposed to work.
So they're trying to pass these things at the meetings. And when they bring up all their retiree friends and all their friends only to vote, and there's only a few of us like me and Alan show up to the meeting, we're the underdogs.
Right.
And we're the minority of the votes.
And this is why
they get
important.
All their votes. That's why we need all the rank and file members to show up to the meetings. To vote on the stuff that's important and make sure that they're not trying to pass things that is iffy.
That is correct.
Yep. So, and it's like the question where about the copier, where they said, oh yeah, we got to buy the copier. And then a couple meetings later, oh, we're leasing it.
Right.
Okay. So we need people to show up and say, hey, this is what happened. So you get to see what's, because this is your union dues.
Right.
Okay. You want to see what the money's being spent it on. Okay. You know, you want to see where all the money's be going and so forth. Bylaws explain some of the monies that's being spent on the officers and so forth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something that, you know, people want to find out, you know, because our union pays for health benefits for all the officers. I don't know if anybody knew that.
Right. Yeah. It's in our bylaws. Okay. Right. Yeah. Most of the benefits get paid
100%
by the union.
Whereas we pay, you know,
we pay for our own benefits. Right.
The post office pays like 82%. Right. And then, we pay
22% or whatever. Yeah.
Whatever
it is.
Something like that.
Right.
But our offices do not have to pay any percentage.
Right, right. That's all part of their benefit. Yeah.
And they get the clothing allowance, even though they're not wearing any uniform.
Maybe they have to buy like polo shirts and stuff. I don't know.
But I'm just saying, all that stuff is in there. And who knows, you know, because we're going to put in motion, hopefully as time goes into passing bylaws,
right,
to change the bylaws for the election, you know, saying that, hey, by the way, we want to change the bylaws saying that the president doesn't get to pick the committee chair, that the election the committee gets to pick themselves. The
right.
So some things like that, we want to change the bylaws.
Right.
But if we don't have the people there to vote,
yeah,
they're gonna still gonna get whatever they want.
Right. Yeah, it all comes down to who shows up to the meeting. Mm-hmm.
And yep. So, yeah, the meeting, even though it looks like they're cheating the system and things like that, and it looks bad, because I've had some people went to the meeting and go, this is our union looks so corrupt that I don't want to be involved. I want to drop out of the union. I don't want to go to any meetings. And all you're doing is emboldening them to do more stuff.
Right.
Because all union is, it's all about voting and people getting together.
Yeah.
Just like freedom of speech and assembly. And so, you know, if you want to speak out, we want to assemble and make sure things are done. Just like what we're trying to do is we're starting to start a caucus.
The Reform Caucus.
Right. And again, so people would call us, you know, again, my number is 702-724-6355.
There you go.
And the class is mail
at gmail.com. And we also have 2502reform. At gmail.com now.
Yep. And we have a Facebook where it's a Better Warren Stewards for Las Vegas.
Yeah, that's true. We don't do a lot
that's in the
with
Facebook.
That Facebook page.
But, and so come and join us and say anything you guys want. And we would love to hear from everybody. We want to get this whole Las Vegas
go ahead.
To get together.
Yeah, one last order of business. Did we pass a rally? Are we doing a rally?
Yes. So they did pass to have a rally, I believe, on the 23rd, which is a Sunday of this month. And we're going to do it in front of Galleria at between 1 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And,
in front of the Galleria Mall?
In front of the Galleria Mall.
Seems like an odd location.
Well, we were talking about it. Like, you know, we were talking about going to the Federal Building.
Yeah.
But on a Sunday, they're closed. So what's the point? Okay.
I guess.
But the point is if we did it in front of the casinos, then the casinos will complain.
Yeah, sure.
Because they're going to think that we're striking against them, but we're not.
Right. Yeah. And same with like doing it in front of the main post office building. Mm-hmm. It looks like we're protesting the post office and we're not. We're doing the opposite.
Right. We're trying to save the post office.
Yeah, trying to save the post office. Right. Okay. So there you go. So
and
And keep going, because I got a shout out that I have to give.
Everybody is invited. That's including APW, rural carriers, including management is invited to this rally so that we can fight for the post office. So anybody who's listening, who is part of our clerks or any friends that you have that are clerks or anybody else who wants to save the post office, including your friends, neighbors, whoever wants to come and join us, please join us on March 23rd in front of gallery at 1 o'clock on March 23rd.
Yeah, and somebody sent me a message asking me to give a shout out for their rally in California, and damn it, I gotta find it. Okay, so this comes from Branch 24. They are also having a rally on March 23rd. They're having a Fight Like Hell rally in Los Angeles, 10 a.m. at the Federal Building, 300 North Los Angeles Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012. All are welcome. And allegedly, Brian Renfro is going to be there. So there you go. That is Branch 24 on March 23rd down at the Federal Building, downtown Los Angeles, 300 North Los Angeles Street.
All right.
Looks like that's everything.
Yeah. And here's the thing.
It's a long one.
Now we have where the post office is being attacked.
Right.
Now we need everybody to join in on this, even though we're fighting against our current president and their crew and everything. But on a rally like this, I will be along with
him. We're all on
him
the same page. Yeah,
on
absolutely.
That to,
I would march
on the same
right,
page to fight to save the post office.
I would march right next to President Renfro and right next to our branch president to go down and save the post office.
Because this is all of us, not just this is just a local fight that we're doing.
Right.
But, you know, but when it comes to this type of rally, we all got to get involved.
100%, I agree. Yeah. All right, let's leave it there.
Yeah, hour and a half, dude.
Dude, that's a long one.
So I think that's the longest we've ever done.
Together, I think it is. Yeah.
So sorry for that, for this long one, but I hope you guys understand why it was this long.
Hey, and at least we kept it interesting. It's not like a marathon reading of Article 16 of the... 16 is an interesting one, but whatever. Yeah.
Right.
All right, thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next time.